This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
about 80 students of Presbyterian Secondary School in the northwestern town of Bamenda, precisely at the village called Ikweni, were attacked and kidnapped early this morning by some armed men.
That's Moki Edwin Kinzeka reporting. We'll have full details on the story coming up.
Also, media rights organizations are calling on authorities in Cameroon to release five journalists detained without charges. And Tanzania's government is distancing itself from a local administrator's comments calling for a crackdown on gay people living in Dar es Salaam.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Approximately 80 students and school officials, including a school principal, were kidnapped this morning by unknown gunmen from a Presbyterian school in the village of Quin in Bamenda, Cameroon. The school is in the English-speaking northwest region of Cameroon. Officials so far have released few details about the kidnapping. For more on this story, I spoke with Moki Edwin Kinzeka, who was in Yaoundé following developments.
Information was confirmed by the governor of the northwest region of Cameroon, Mr. Lolilasik Deben Chefo Adov. He said about 80 students of Presbyterian Secondary School in the northwestern town of Bamenda, precisely at the village called Ikweni, were attacked and kidnapped early this morning by some armed men. The governor, as well as education officials of the northwest region, have not given any details. They say they're still investigating, and before the end of this day, they will be able to give the names of the students, they will be able to give the names of the administrative staff that were also kidnapped alongside the students of that school.
Do you know at what time they're going to release details on this kidnapping?
The governor said the details will be released as early as we get them, but he said the intelligence service of the military and the military has been deployed to the field to try to get the details also, and he is consulting, he is meeting with officials of the schools and the students to be able to have a list of the students who are missing and the teachers also who are missing. Some material of the school was also taken. He says before the end of today, he'll be able to give the details on it.
And this appears to be part of the ongoing violence that is taking place in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon. So why is there so much violence taking place, especially right now?
Violence has escalated within the past few months because of the presidential elections that were organized in Cameroon. You know, before the elections, the northwest and southwest regions, some armed groups have declared the northwest and southwest regions an independent state, and they warned the central government in Yaoundé to organize in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon, calling it a state called Ambazonia. But the government negated the calls, went ahead and organized the elections. When the results were proclaimed, the government claimed that about 5% of registered voters of the northwest actually voted for President Paul Biya, who has been in power for 36 years. That again angered armed separatists who have been fighting for what they call the independence of the English-speaking northwest region of Cameroon from the French-speaking areas of Cameroon. So the violence has increased, has intensified, just because the government went ahead and organized elections there in spite of the injunction given them by the armed separatists. And the official inauguration of President Paul Biya has been announced for Tuesday, November 6th. So they have said they will keep on attacking and disturbing until the world gets the message. And they will keep on disturbing until the central government in Yaoundé listens to their plea and organize a referendum for them to determine the form of government they want and when the central government is going to ask the troops to leave.
And the military, what are they doing to really try to curtail all of this violence?
The military has been organizing attacks on the strongholds of the separatist groups and trying to protect schools. The military is doing its best, but the military most of the time is accused of coming to rescue the people when it's already very late. The armed groups are using hit and run tactics. They are not known. They hide within the communities, which makes it very difficult for the military to know when they are going to attack. And when they attack, they disappear into the crowd, into among the civilians, further complicates the issue for the military. The population has also been complaining that when the attacks are carried out, the military instead comes and destroys their property, burn their houses and burn the schools. The role of the military in the crisis has been accused of destroying what they were supposed to have been protecting.
That was VOA correspondent Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Also in Cameroon, media rights organizations are calling on authorities to release five journalists detained without charge in the past month after reporting on the country's unrest. TV host Mimi Mifo is the latest journalist believed to be targeted for her critical reporting. We turn again to reporter Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé.
A Cameroonian gendarme summoned popular TV host Mimi Mifo, who heads English news for privately owned Equinox Broadcasting. Mifo was called Monday to appear before the military legal body after several threats were made on her life. But Mifo believes authorities are trying to intimidate her because of her reporting.
I contacted my lawyer, Barrister Tamfo Richard, who told me that an investigation has actually been opened against me on propagation of false information and cyber criminality. The problem here actually are my reports, my debates, my social media reports, and my day-to-day, minute-by-minute updates on my website and social media on political and social happenings in Cameroon. When you report the atrocities, you are threatened and you are considered as an enemy.
Media rights groups say Cameroon authorities have targeted several journalists for critical and detailed reporting on the country's insurgencies. Cameroon police detained journalist Michel Biem Tong on October 23. Tong is known for critical reporting of the military's atrocities in the fight against Boko Haram terrorists in the north and Anglophone separatists in the west. Publisher Gustave Flaubert Kenye, whose publication, Orientation Hebdo, specializes in human rights reporting, was among those detained in October. While Cameroon authorities accused the reporters of propagating false information, none of them have been officially charged. Cameroon Communication Minister Issa Chiruma says everyone should stop publishing information that jeopardizes Cameroon's unity.
As far as the fight, the battle against the terrorism is concerned, whoever respects the law will live at peace in our nation. What is unacceptable is the fact that the journalists would like the international community to exert influence on President Biya to get the journalists released.
The Union of Cameroon Journalists is calling for authorities to immediately release the reporters. Union President Chaline Dichia says the government is persecuting journalists.
Journalists have a right to receive information, any information. They are wrong, and it is intimidating.
The government is just deceiving the world into thinking that there is a press freedom in Cameroon.
The Committee to Protect Journalists has criticized the attacks and also asked charges against the journalists to be dropped for those detained to regain freedom. The Committee to Protect Journalists says since 2016, Cameroon has repeatedly jailed journalists for reporting on unrest in the western regions of the country. Reporters Without Borders 2018 World Press Freedom Index ranks Cameroon 129 out of 180 countries in the world. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
William John Endley, who was freed from detention in South Sudan last week by a presidential pardon, says his arrest was a political maneuver. The retired South African military colonel had been an advisor for rebel leader Riek Machar. He says the charges brought against him were false. He spoke today with our colleague John Tanza with VOA's South Sudan in Focus program.
My history goes back to 2007 as part of a demining group when Machar became the country manager for Sudan, with many D-miners based in Juba and other areas of the then Sudan. And I left with another company at the end of 2014. I have a personal relationship or friendship with Dr. Riek Machar, which goes back to that time as well. So I met up with him in South Africa by chance in 2015. We started talking, and I agreed to assist specifically with the integration process and also with the security assessment evaluation, which was going to be part of the peace agreement signed in 2015. Well, I was invited to join him to return on the same flight with him back to South Sudan in April 2016.
And it's my understanding that you joined him on that flight from Gambela, where you did not have any visa on your passport. Is that correct?
That is correct. So we left from Addis, we went through to Gambela, to Bagok, and then back again. So the Ethiopians made a copy of my passport, and I was on the official United Nations provided flight back to South Sudan with Dr. Riek.
But I mean, going into South Sudan without a visa would put you on a wrong side of the law. Were you aware about that?
The visa issue was discussed before we left Addis, and the arrangement was the minute we got back into South Sudan, it would be resolved. The fact is, my name was on the official tax list that was set up by one Ezekiel Gatkuth. He was responsible for coordinating all the movements, plus getting the names through. And there was specific taskings given by Dr. Riek to Yin Lam, who was then the chief of, or the inspector general of the IO police. But unfortunately, and it's very apparent, he did not do what he was told to do. And when I asked for him to come as a witness to the court during my trial, for some reason, he didn't know me, and he also refused to come to the court. But there were arrangements and specific actions in place even before we left Addis Ababa.
We hear various accounts from the government. Why were you arrested when you attempted to leave Juba in 2016, July, after the fight that was there? Why were you arrested at the airport?
John, I was not arrested at the airport. That's also not good information. I was arrested in the hotel in August, quite a couple of weeks after the fighting. At that point of time, I was still waiting for either Dr. Riek to come back or to meet with the Bandengai to see if he wanted me to continue with the process, which he was very well aware of that I was doing for Dr. Riek.
How were you treated during your time in detention? I mean, we hear lots of stories from people who come out of detention in South Sudan. How were you treated, given the fact that you're not a South Sudanese?
John, initially in national security, things were fine. And the whole timing and the whole approach changed very drastically and dramatically when Dr. Riek was placed under house arrest here in South Africa. But I was never tortured. I was slapped around a couple of times by people who got angry with me. There were official investigations, but at the same time, on at least two occasions, I was taken out over weekends after hours by specific individuals, you know, with other requests besides the official investigation that took place there. I was also very, very ill at one point with malaria, so it was almost fatal. And when the late director of the National Security Detention Facility, Major Mabil, was told that I was dying, he said, you know, let the Khawaja or let the white man die. So the first few months, and it took almost 1 year before I was allowed to make contact with my family, and this enabled everybody to jump onto the rumor wagon. And this has led to a great amount of confusion, not only with my family, but also with individuals within my government. But fortunately, that has been resolved now. But the treatment initially was not good for the first 6-7 months, and then it did improve dramatically as well. So there are certain individuals within the national security who I would actually like to compliment for the way that they treated me, specifically. Well, I don't want to mention their names, but there are some very, very good people working there as well. But at the same time, there are some very large amount of rotten eggs within the system too.
That was William John Andley, a retired colonel in the South African Army. Andley was arrested in South Sudan in 2016 and charged with espionage. He was given a death sentence earlier this year, but was released under a presidential amnesty last week. He was speaking with John Tanza from Johannesburg. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on The Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 20 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Approximately 80 students and school officials, including a school principal, were kidnapped this morning in a village in Cameroon. And also, media rights organizations are calling on authorities in Cameroon to release five journalists detained without charges. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Tanzania's government is distancing itself from a local administrator's comments calling for a crackdown on homosexuals in Dar es Salaam. Paul Makonda, a regional commissioner in Dar es Salaam, asked the public to identify anyone suspected of being gay so a task force could arrest them effective today. On the Ministry of Foreign Affairs website yesterday, the government said Makonda's call is only his opinion and does not reflect the country's official stance. The government said it would respect all international agreements on human rights it has ratified, but it did not condemn Makonda's remarks or say if arrest would be halted. Tanzania is one of several African countries that outlaw homosexuality. In some places, it's punishable by death. Today, the EU recalled its ambassador to Tanzania over the issue. The U.S. Embassy issued a security alert Saturday for Americans living in Dar es Salaam to avoid actions that could risk arrest.
In Rwanda, the former independent candidate in 2017's presidential elections and last parliamentary elections, Philip Mpayimana, has launched a new political party. He says the Rwanda People's Progressive Party, PPR, will express new ideas the ruling party has never tackled. Some political analysts say President Paul Kagame will likely not be concerned by this newcomer. Eugene Uwimana has details from Kigali.
Opposition politician Philip Mpayimana says the Rwandan People's Party we bring new political strategies that can develop every Rwandan. He says he intends awakening voters so they can bring new development ideas to the table.
It's not a problem of RPA. It is a big problem is on the side of the population. To awake the population and to challenge, the current way of ruling and to to improve and to be competitive internationally.
The 48-year-old Mpayimana first appeared in Rwandan politics in the last year's presidential election. He ran as an independent candidate against President Paul Kagame, the leader of the Rwandan Patriotic Front, or RPF. Mpayimana captured just 0.7% of the vote against Kagame's 98.8%. Despite his loss, Mpayimana says he's creating a party because he realized many voters like his manifesto.
It's not very good to continue to walk alone when there are many people appreciating my project. That is why I did it with some of my colleagues, and we will look for others, and we will keep on realizing that idea.
Oswald Mutueyezo, a political analyst and media commentator, says Kagame will not likely be concerned about the new party.
I think for President Kagame, it will not be a big deal. He can say, I don't care. I think it is a party which will not challenge him. It's a party that will not be aggressive. So for him, I think it's a thing to which he will not give a damn. Maimana uses non-violent methods, and his voice is not aggressive. And when he shows what's not going well, he uses a very soft language.
Kagame has led the country since 1994. Although he's popular, his government has been criticized in recent years for allegedly harsh treatment toward political dissidents, which it denies. The idea of a new party has not generated much enthusiasm in the public. There are already 11 parties, although Kagame's RPF dominates most elected offices. University student Daize Felix sees parties more like business operations that benefit members.
I think we Rwandans, we don't need many political parties that operate simply to gain money. We can embrace even only one party that assures security and development to Rwandans.
So far, Mpayimana's party, PPR, has not yet legally registered. To register, it needs to have at least 200 signatures of its members, 5 in every district. Eugene Uwimana for VOA News, Kigali.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Misha Dubinsky, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Americans vote in the U.S. midterm elections on November 6th. We'll examine what the results mean for America's domestic and foreign policy, particularly as they relate to Africa and Africans. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The 2019 VOA calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture U.S. byways, including beautiful photos of the Big Sur Coast Highway and even the historic Route 66. Tune in to Border Crossings at 1500 Universal to request a free calendar.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.